Places out in the lobby cannot believe what we've done. I'm sure there's a lot of things they're looking at they can't believe.
I got it, right? I got it. If I got it,
she has no idea what you're talking about. No idea. And even if she could hear it, she wouldn't have any idea what you're talking about.
See, we work out here. There's four radio stations where we are located. And so a lot of people, but you can only really see us as you walk in. So, and I'm guessing a lot of people who come in here to, like, to pick up their prizes from, say, 93.7, walk in, and they look over, and they look through the window, and they go, what up? Kid Fresh is white.
With a tie.
He's a stringy white man. A middle-aged white man. What up? So that's what they're doing right now. They're going, whoa! That's not how I pictured Kid Fresh. Anyway, we're here in, I'm unprepared. No, I tried to prepare today, but one mistake that I have made lately is I've been going up to the state legislature. I was up at the state legislature last night.
That's the best form of preparation.
Well, you do learn a lot. I don't know whether you learn a lot that's actually useful, because a lot of the stuff that goes on up there, I mean, you can follow every little nuance of a very complicated bill through various iterations and amendments and stuff like that, and then go home in May and not really know what happened, or not even know whether it's a law or not. They really are at the point now where they are just jerking each other around big time. And this is the nicest legislative session ever that anyone can remember. And the reason is because the House landed on top of the Wicked Witch of the East, or whatever. But, you know, in other words, nobody's really afraid of John Rowland or Mark Ryan or any of those people anymore. So everybody has to be kind of nice, and everybody has to do all the things they always said they would do if John Rowland and Mark Ryan would let them. Because John Rowland and Mark Ryan, you know, couldn't stop traffic if they had, you know, crossing guard uniforms on at this point. I mean, you know, nobody cares what they think. I mean, and by the way, I just met Colby. I didn't meet him, actually. That would be an over... John Rowland's dog.
Wait a minute.
He ran by me.
He ran by you inside the state capitol?
Yeah. It's sort of interesting because...
They allow you to bring dogs to the state capitol?
I was sort of... Well, there are, like, guide dogs are there. And stuff
well,
like
guide dogs, yeah, but, I mean, he's not a guide dog. Is he?
He may be Rowland's chief of staff at this point for anybody knows. He forgot he's gone. He may have, like... Colby may have three jobs in the Rowland administration right now, you know? The Labrador Retriever, it doesn't matter. It was sort of weird because I was up at the top of the stairs kind of standing to the side, and so suddenly the whole bunch of TV cameras went on, you know, and these beams of light started streaming down the stairs, and I'm thinking...
And you thought, wow,
yeah,
nice of them, but it's really kind of overdone.
Well, I was sort of over to the side, and so I couldn't see what they were pointing down at. And then finally, this dog comes up, you know, and stands at the top of the stairs. I thought, oh, I'm taking pictures of a dog. And then Governor Rowland came up behind the dog. And
they turned the cameras off.
And maybe I'm imagining this, but he did look over me. And it seemed to me that if Luke could kill, you would be looking around for a new co-host right now.
You really think so?
Yeah. If Luke could kill,
Buddy
Vlasevich would be sitting in over here this afternoon. You know, or I don't know what the plan is if I die, actually. You know, probably nothing. I saw both of them. And, I think he has his dog up there because he doesn't, nobody else, the dog may be the only person left who listens to him, assuming the dog
doesn't talk back.
Yeah.
Did the dog attempt to perhaps lift his leg on you or anything when he went by?
No. The dog is actually being represented separately by Steve Seligman right now anyway, so... Colby lawyered up.
The dog had his financial records in his mouth when he went by.
Colby may be talking at this point. And Colby may be talking to the grand jury. So,
mouthful of credit card receipts.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't even know if this is of interest to anybody else, but I will try to describe the state that they get to. Even in this, the best of all possible sessions. They're now at the point where all the demented, stupid stuff that they wanted to do, particularly the really demented, stupid legislators, the especially demented, stupid legislators, have wanted to do, and they know that they really can do it, and they're being nuisances. And I will give you an example. There is a legislator named T.R. Rowe, and he's like this kind of stringy little conservative, neo-Christian geek.
Okay. We get the point. Yeah.
And so he's all into the Defense of Marriage Act. Okay. So what he has done is he has amended every single bill that has any reference to a married couple, husband, wife, people having kids, stem cell, embryo. It doesn't make any difference if it's got anything to do with marriage. If he can find any reference to a married couple or any implication of a married couple, he has amended the bill to say,
man and a woman.
In Section 3, marriage or a married couple or whatever shall be understood to be a union between one man and one woman.
Right.
And so then you have, I mean, it gets more absurd than that because, for example, there's a term called a horse. A horse. A horse up in the state legislature is, what they do is they take a bill that's been through, I'm trying to think how to explain this. Like for example, the one that I'm going to give you an example of is stem cells, all right? Somehow or other, they lost the stem cell research bill. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know exactly how this particular thing happened. But they wanted to get the stem cell thing back on the agenda somehow or other. So what they do is they take a bill that's been through the right committees. Now, the bill that they pick right now, it says something about an act concerning attorney something or others. You know, it doesn't have anything to do with stem cells. And they gut it. They just take out everything. They strike everything with the enabling clause. They gut it. So it still says at the top, an act concerning attorneys who cross-dress or something. And except now it's a bill all about stem cells. So, which is ridiculous enough. And then at the bottom of the stem cell bill, it says, in Section 3, a married couple shall be understood to be a man, one man and one woman. Because this guy, TRO, has amended every bill up there. There's even bills, like there's a campaign finance reform bill that has like a spousal checkoff box or something to fund the campaign finance reform.
Yeah.
So, but it says, a spouse shall be understood to be... I mean, I'm sure that if there is, you know, a bill that involves the humane treatment of rats and mice in, you know, research labs, like a married rat will be understood to be a one male rat and one female rat. I mean, the whole thing is just insane. That's the kind of thing that's going on up there. And then Betty Gallo did try to sell me crack. That's the other thing. Well, no, not really. But Betty Gallo has been up there lobbying for, I think, like since maybe the Harding administration or something, like since Raymond Baldwin was governor of Connecticut. Betty Gallo has been up there lobbying for, as Eleanor Roosevelt used to say, persons less fortunate than ourselves. She like lobbies for the angels. She's like, she's one of the people that's up there. She and Kim Harrison and a few other people are up there. They lobby for all the poor people and, you know, the organizations that take care of poor people and stuff like that. So one of Betty's bills this year is the one that Morano was talking about. I just ran into Morano, too. Chris Morano, the chief state's attorney. The one that equalizes the penalties for crack cocaine versus regular cocaine, powder cocaine. So what Betty does is she goes around the Capitol, I mean, among other things, just many things. But what she's been doing is she, in her purse, she has these two baggies. And one of them has like this little eensy peensy teensy weensy eeny tiny Rosanna Dana size little eensy peensy pie grain of something, you know. And that's like 0.5 grams of crack. Because it's not really crack. I don't know what it is. It's like kosher salt or something probably. And then she has this big old bag of powder, which is supposed to be cocaine, because it's actually probably, you know, Hecker's flour or something. And then she sort of takes them out of her bag and she explains to you that you buy the little eensy peensy teensy weensy gram of crack, half a gram of crack, for $15. You buy the big baggie full of 28 grams of cocaine for $800. But if you got arrested with either one of those things, you get the same penalty. Their mandatory minimum would be the same. Because basically, and the theory being, people like putting poor black folks in jail more than they like putting rich white folks in jail. And so that's why they have this weird discrepancy, and they're trying to equalize it all out and stuff like that. But the first time she said, let me give you a demonstration, she whipped out these two bags, and I said, you know, Betty, there's like 16 state cops here. She goes, oh, don't worry, they've all been briefed. So anyway, those are some of my little stories.
There's some cop with a big dog. Giant German Shepherd comes flying up and...
Well, should the, actually, everybody, all the state cops did seem to know about this. And you know, remember Captain Morgan?
Yeah.
He's still up there. He came up to me the other day, and today I'm dressed kind of nice, but you know, usually I don't dress that well. And because of this queer eye for the straight guy thing that you and I are doing, I haven't... But I look like Johnny Damon or something, you know. I mean, I haven't
cut
my hair
quite.
For a while. So I've got really long hair and a beard, and I'm a 6'6" black man with long dreadlocks. And so, not really, but anyway, so I'm up there, and I didn't have a tie on or anything like that. And so Captain Morgan came over to me. He said, "Do you realize if we didn't know who you were, we'd have to put you under observation for a while?"
So that's encouraging.
It's like he was sort of saying, if we didn't know, we'd have to profile you.
Yeah.
You fit the profile. So anyway, we'd love to hear from you about anything you want to talk about. Our numbers are 522-WTIC. Later on today, we're going to have Blumenthal on to talk about the Scatagokes and the BIA, who mean our hate. We're also, I should tell you, we're going to have the Scatagokes in here, I've decided.
We are?
Yeah. I talked to their lobbyist today, too. I ran into their mall. And you know what? It's fine with me. Bring them on in. I don't even know. They could be great Indians, for all I know. I mean, it could be that they are...
They could even be Indians.
They could even be Indians, which would be, that would be terrific.
That'd be a start,
yeah.
Wouldn't it?
They could be just the victims of bad timing, that they got into this process at a point at which it was so completely degraded that nobody had any confidence in it, least of all you or me. But, so anyway, they want to come in here and...
Bring them on.
They're going to maybe sing some of their Scatagokes songs, too. I don't know.
You Are My Sunshine?
No, that's the Pequots,
yeah.
They do one
My Way?
Big Traffic Jam on Route 7, actually, is a Scatagokes song.
To hear that Scatagokes favorite, Big Yellow Taxi.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going to come in here at some point, but Blumenthal's going to be on. It's not to say how much he doesn't like the Scatagokes, I don't think, but more to say how much he doesn't like the BIA, who he characterized in the press conference as lawless.
Well.
They sound like they're like, you know, Billy the Kid or something. But anyway, so he's going to be on, and then born-again Christian Steve Wolfberg from Cronin and Company will be joining us.
Oh, today's the day?
I believe that's today's the day. Talk about advertising on the final episode of Friends. So in the meanwhile...
How long could that possibly take?
I think it could take a long time.
I don't know.
Or in Frasier, too. Isn't it the last...
Wow.
Also...
Yeah, like somebody's going to notice?
I think he also wanted to do kind of a retrospective of the advertising on the last episode of Becker as well. That was...
Yeah. We missed that one.
A watershed. I don't know. We'll talk about other kinds of advertising.
Oh, no, there's
too.
Plenty to talk
yeah, there's always,
about. He's always a delight to have on the show.
And I see lots and lots of commercials.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of them, however. Well,
You're watching just a little bit too much television.
Actually, I don't watch any television.
You watch more television than I do.
Yeah, I think that may be true, but I haven't watched any television in days except for The Sopranos. It's the only thing I've watched, and I've been out at night. I was out at the state capitol last night.
Yeah.
It's a good thing.
You're at the state capitol last night and again today.
And today, yeah.
And what does that tell you?
I have no life. You're never lonely at the state capitol because, you know, if you're standing there all by yourself, it's like 11:30 at night, and Pat Sullivan, who's sitting there bored out of his mind, will come over and explain to you the whole medical malpractice thing. And then you'll be bored out of your mind, too. Why should he have to suffer alone? Anyway, we should probably take a break here.
Colin shall return.
I'm feeling semi-conciliatory towards John Ruland because I was just over the state capitol, and I ran into Joe McKenzie. Now, Joe McKenzie, who, you know, kind of has this reputation of being the dragon lady of the Ruland administration, but for some reason or other, she likes me. I have no idea why she likes me, and whenever she sees me, she stops and we talk. Whenever I meet her, and she's certainly, nobody's carrying more radioactive containment fluid water for, you know, John Ruland right now than Joe McKenzie, but, you know, it always makes me feel a little more favorably disposed towards John Ruland, but still all the same, I think he should go to prison. but I feel nicer about that somehow.
Have you known anyone who's died with enough life insurance?
Bruce and Colin shall return.
I'm feeling semi-conciliatory towards John Ruland because I was just over the state capitol and I ran into Joe McKenzie. Now, Joe McKenzie, who, you know, kind of has this reputation of being the dragon lady of the Ruland administration, but for some reason or other, she likes me. I have no idea why she likes me. And whenever she sees me, she stops and we talk. Whenever I meet her, and she's certainly, nobody's carrying more radioactive containment fluid water for, you know, John Ruland right now than Joe McKenzie. But, you know, it always makes me feel a little more favorably disposed towards John Ruland. But still, all the same, I think he should go to prison. But I feel nicer about that somehow.
Have you known anyone who's died with enough life insurance?
We've got 10 to do open phones here. Number 522 WTIC, 1-800-966 WTIC, star WTIC if you have a cell phone. And we have Gene on the line. I don't know if we're going to be able to help Gene, but let's see.
Gene, hi.
How you doing?
Good.
Coming up in the next hour, we'll talk to Attorney General Richard Blumenthal a little bit about the BIA stuff. Right now, we're able to take your phone calls, do open phones right now about any topic of your choosing, whether it is in the world of news or the world of entertainment or the world of religion, law, culture, or philosophy, ancient health, science.
Health. Oh, yeah. We're big on health.
All those things. Our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Please don't be like Gene and call us up with a hard question that takes us into areas that we don't know that much about. Now, I have just spent a little bit of time during the news reading some of the rules governing both insider trading and the exercise of stock options, and they are very twisty and turny and complicated, and it's really kind of, from what I can tell, not the case that you could use stock options easily anyway to accomplish. There's even a terrific paper by a guy named Henry Mann from the Brookings Institute, which I've only read about a third of so far, written in August of 2002. It's on the AEI Brookings Joint Center site. When he basically says that laws against insider trading are stupid and bad, and that basically insider trading is sort of good because it encourages managers to identify with their shareholders and take risks and stuff like that to try to make the share price worth more. And that when you don't have rules against insider trading, what you have is people who run their companies very conservatively, which aligns them with the interests of debt holders. But never mind. This is boring. Why are we even talking about it? 522 WTIC.
I was finding it scintillating.
Well, it kind of had that, you know how when you first start to learn about something you don't know anything about, it's mildly interesting. Anyway, 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Oh, let me say this.
Please.
I was listening to the promo that we currently have for the show that, you know, has like, it's kind of an edgy promo. I'm amazed management hasn't cracked down on it, but they haven't. But it does strike me that we need a different kind of comment, and particularly the promo right now. See, what we do is we give out this phone number, 677-6700, extension 400. And people can call up and they can leave little comments.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, some positive comments, some negative comments. You love us, you hate us.
Did anybody leave any positive comments?
Well, there are comments. I mean, the current one has new positive comments on it, positive comments I had not heard before.
Yeah, but I think that's actually somebody that works here. I think we had them come in and
I think there are a few people who like the show anyway. But there are more people who want us just to die in our own vomit. And we understand that, too. But we need some women. That's the biggest problem right now with this promo, is that there are no female voices on it whatsoever. So it's guys who kind of like us, and then really, really angry guys who have no lives and can't get sex, and they're taking it out on us. Most of them, that's how they self-identify.
You know, what's really amazing is that...
I'm lonely, and I can't get sex, and I hate Bruce and Colin.
It's really amazing that some, Eli Lilly or one of these companies... No, it's not Lilly, it's Pfizer, hasn't actually bought time on the show to sell some of these erectile dysfunction helpers.
Well, anyway...
To some of the audience.
I don't know what their problem is, but they're very, very bitter and angry, and they're not having any fun at all. And we try to make this show be fun for everybody, not just liberals. We don't care about liberals. We want everybody to have fun.
Right.
So, but we need some new calls to this comment line. 677-6700, extension 400. Particularly if you're a woman. And we don't really care whether you're a woman who hates us or likes us. Although, like would be better. I mean, I won't kid you. Like would be better.
Perhaps what we should do is take a machine of some sort, like Thursday.
Yeah.
When we go out to this makeover thing.
Yeah, we're going to this makeover thing.
And coerce people. In the audience to say what we would like them to say, and then we can make it sound like they actually called out.
There are going to be a lot of really attractive women at this thing, many of whom do like us. So that would be a good bit of information.
I thought you told me Colin is going to be all guys. Well, that's why I shouldn't go.
There's going to be a lot of gay guys, but it turns out there's going to be a lot of attractive women. It's going to be a good mix, pretty much whatever.
How do you know
whatever
going to be there?
Well, a lot of people have told, if all the people who have told me they are coming
yeah.
Are coming.
And who, by the way, shall I just want to ask, Who, by the way, it's not bad enough that we have D'Ambrosio hosting this thing. Okay,
yeah. Call, so we should explain, this is a fundraiser for Connecticut AIDS Residents Coalition. It's called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy.
Right, for those of us who are a little timid about this anyway.
Yeah.
That's bad enough. Well, then someone went out and invited this collection of morons that we have here working at the station and said it was okay for them to come.
Taking them. Well, we should explain what it is anyway. It's a fundraiser for Connecticut AIDS Residents Coalition.
By the way.
It's at the Pond House on Thursday night. You're invited if you're out there to come. I think it's $30, and I'm sure that gets you something. I don't know. We'll probably drink.
Bobby's fine, but you know, but we got Mikey C. and we got James, and we got all these people showing up.
Yeah. Well, in any case,
it's going to be humiliating.
But other
but it's
people
for
are,
a good cause.
Yes, and other people are invited. We should make that clear. Anyway, you can come. It's from 6 to 9, I believe, at the Pond House. And Bruce and I will be there, and Eddie Perez and Jim Shea.
Right.
We'll all be getting kind of makeovers. I'll be having our appearances changed.
Right.
And Joe D'Ambrosio, nice Mr. Ambrosio, he will be hosting.
Right.
And Kara Sunland, the elf, will be one of the judges, and there's some other judges. And there's somebody else who's hosting from some evil demon-worshipping radio station. So that's sort of who's participating as well. But there's going to be lots of other, people, I don't know. A lot of people have told me they're going to this.
Okay.
And it'll be nice.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Did Roland tell you that when you saw him today?
I don't think
he's not
going
to be going.
He'll be
going.
He won't be.
Too bad.
He'll be resting up from this hard session.
All right, here's Rick in West Hartford. Rick.
Hey, Bruce and Colin, how are you doing
good
tonight? Hey, I'm really offended by something you just said. I mean, I'm lonely and bitter and can't get sex, but I love the Bruce and Colin show.
Oh, sorry.
Well, all of that's going to change pretty soon, one way or the other. Are you either going to start hating the show or you're going to start getting a lot more sex?
I was calling in.
Colin shall return.
We take Eddie or not? What's your feeling?
Well,
what's your instinct?
Yeah, let's do this. Eddie, hello.
Hey, Eddie. Oh, he's not there. He may have been silenced.
Hello?
There you are, Eddie. Are you there?
Yeah.
Are you like in a Romulan warbird or something?
No,
we're going to have Lieutenant Uhuru try to lock on your signal right now, all right?
Excuse me,
yeah?
Are you happy with the choice?
All right, we're back. And somehow or other we got sidetracked on the issue of George W. Bush's religious convictions. I guess that's my fault. I can't remember how this happened, but so we have people calling up about this.
Well, it's not totally your fault, because Rick from West Hartford kind of hijacked the show.
Yeah, talking about
in a friendly way.
Environmentalists
and
stuff like that.
You know.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's talk a little bit about this. By the way, the PBS documentary, I was trying to think of the name of it, was called The Jesus Factor. And it was, you know, it wasn't, it didn't attempt to portray the president's views as garish or extreme or anything like that. It was a pretty even-handed and respectful look at his attitudes. But it, you know, it reminded you how significant his religious faith is to him and shaping a lot of his views about things. So anyway, let's take a call or two.
Here's Mike in a car. Hello, Mike.
Yes.
You're on the radio.
Joining us now. He's Attorney General Richard Blumenthal. He is at the forefront right now of a battle, kind of questioning, first of all, the way in which the Bureau of Indian Affairs makes decisions, and particularly how they made their decision for federal recognition of the Scaticoke Tribal Nation. So he's with us now. Attorney General, are you there?
I am indeed. Thank you.
I believe I just heard a clip in which you referred to the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Here on Fantasy Island, you will be given a personality.
Looking at recovering from the Blumenthal.
Anyway, when you have an unfortunate fender bender, my people cry out. Please don't elect like the White Father, Blumenthal Governor. He's so boring. I don't think I can take 4 years of that. Really, he has to promise that if he gets elected governor, he will develop any kind of personality. I don't care if he turns into Roland. You know, I mean,
oh,
really.
That's not good.
I don't care. I mean, when Roland is freaking Voldemort. So, but that's fine. I don't care. But, I mean, I guess I can't go through. I can't do that. I can't do 4 years of what we just did just there. I can't do it. He has to. What are you doing over there? What are you doing? What are you doing? Well, you're spraying glass plus all over things, and then you're like, you've got a razor blade. What are you doing? Trying to get high? Are
no.
you huffing inhalants over there or something?
No. The other day when the fine chief state's attorney came in,
yeah,
he brought that biohazard stuff.
Yeah.
Someone took it upon themselves to put the sticker that says biohazard right in the middle of our fine control board, and I just trying to remove it. It's
but
gone now.
I can't do it. I just can't do it, really. It's just, you know, Bicewicz is a robot, and she has much more personality than Blumenthal.
Okay. That's good. Phone should be ringing at any second.
But really, she would be a million times more fun to deal with. And, I mean, I think Blumenthal is a bright guy, and he's basically very principled, and he's done a terrific job as Attorney General, and I admire him. But, by God, I can't go through that. I can't do 4 years of it. I can't do it. We'll have to move the talk show to New Mexico. I don't even know who the governor is there.
Bill Richardson.
But it could be a plank. It could be a 2x4, and we'd be better off.
Well, I'd like to say that not only have I never seen an episode of Friends, but in the place where I live, in my universe, Joey has already been canceled. I think is the fate that awaits it.
Joey is the new show.
There'll be the spinoff, which they're actually thinking. I think they may plug into the Friends spot, imagining that. And I've never seen an episode of Friends, but I would imagine that Matt LeBlanc is the least popular person in the cast. So automatically he has to carry the spinoff.
His co-star in this is going to be Dick Blumenthal.
Yeah.
So it should be
really exciting. So almost exciting as that is, have you Steve Wolfrick here from Cronin and Company, who's, what are you, your vice president?
Have you lost my card already? I hand it to you every time I'm here.
Well, that's true. That's one of the reasons.
He's the man.
I don't get more attached to it.
We'll just leave it at that.
Creative guy. Yeah. And, so is this like a Super Bowl-sized audience? Is that what we're talking about?
This is the Super Bowl of sitcoms.
Yeah.
A 30-second spot airing on the Friends finale, which is Thursday night. It's going to cost $2 million for 30 seconds. Now, the Super Bowl was $2.3 million, and quite frankly, they're going to be talking about half the size of the audience. Super Bowl talked about 90 million people. The Friends final episode will be huge for a sitcom, but only about half of that, 45 to 50 million at best. So it's a big drop, but there are very few opportunities in the mass media now to talk to that many people at once. So
this audience won't be anywhere near as drunk as the Super Bowl audience. This audience has some chance of remembering the advertising it sees.
We hope so, and what's different from the Super Bowl is we've learned that people tune into the Super Bowl just to watch the commercials.
Yeah.
We understand that people will be tuning into Friends just to watch Friends.
Yeah.
So it should be very interesting to see exactly, is it worth it? And again, you know, there are so few opportunities with the fragmentation, all the cable, you know, stations that are out there, and, you know, TiVo and video games. You can't get 50 million people together at once unless it's like in my daughter's bat mitzvah, but that's a whole other story.
Right. They'll be taking donations later. We'll open up a special phone line for that. It's not just Friends, too. It's Frasier that's going off the air, too.
Frasier's going off the air on the
15th. Today's the final episode of Scrubs as well. So, I mean, you know, there's a lot going on.
And something lost in the radar, maybe with good reason, is sometime this summer, the last episode of the Drew Carey Show will be airing, which has been on for like 9 years. And for a while, it was a touch. Well, that's just it. It was like a top 20 show in the early 2000s. And I thought did some pretty innovative stuff with some of the musical numbers they did, the pop-up video stuff they did. They always tried to do unique things, but they moved the schedule around a lot and fallen out of favor.
My mother even watches the Drew Carey Show anymore.
There might be
four people in a trailer.
Well, that may be somewhere. And that's probably why it's going away.
You've got the slogan. Is it, that's still on?
Surprised it lasted this long. Yeah.
They're begging to be canceled. Well, and I would imagine also the Friends demographic's probably pretty good anyway, right?
It's a very desirable demographic. In fact, some people think it may be the last time a sitcom actually held on to a demographic, because nowadays it's so diverse out there. But the 18 to 40 demographic, male, female, very lucrative. That's what all the advertisers want, and Friends has had that for its, I guess it's been on for 10 or 11 years. So it's very desirable. There will be a lot of just the right people tuning in. The advertisers, as far as I can see, no erectile dysfunction drug advertisers will be, which is good news. We won't have it so much.
Although Gatorade does have a new Cialis flavor, so it's complicated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But things like Dove soap and Hewlett-Packard and Old Navy, you don't really see those people on the Super Bowl, but they will be ponying up just about as much money. And, you know, it's also interesting is that one reason why maybe the $2.3 million in the Super Bowl kind of maybe makes it worth it is that for 2 weeks before, they're talking about what commercials are going to be in it and all that free publicity, and then in USA Today and for a week afterwards and on the Today Show and whatever, they're talking about what were the good commercials. As far as I can see, there's not going to be any surveys as to what was the best commercial you saw on Friends. So that residual effect of, see, why are they spending all that money? It's not going to be there. But again, you can't talk to 50 million people like that anymore.
So what you're telling us is that we booked you for this time slot to talk about something that you're basically telling us isn't that interesting.
Well, I think it's interesting that, indeed, that they're dropping that much coin on a spot. And it's sad to say, you know, Frasier, which a lot of people say was the better of the creative, you know, TV shows, which is airing for its last time the next week, is not going to get that. And generally, it gets about half the audience. So you would expect, you know, maybe, you know, 25 million people will watch the finale of Frasier. Did a lot better with Emmys and things like that, more of a critical darling. But it's just not going to get the numbers of Friends, which is more of almost a cultural phenomenon.
Go ahead.
Also, how does this compare with, like, Cheers or MASH or shows like that that advertising?
Right. Well, MASH, as you may know, was the number one finale. The number one rated show for a single show of all time. And back in 1983, 105 million viewers. That's more than watched the last Super Bowl.
I would have thought I'm Dickens' Fenster would have been...
that was close to My Mother the Car, yeah. Right after that. And the amazing thing was that only cost $100,000 only. But $100,000 for that 30-second commercial. And even if you look at it in 2004 dollars, mm-hmm. it's $850,000. So it's still half of what... And they reach what will be four times as many people. Cheers in 93 was the next big number. 80 million people watched that. Advertisers spent about $500,000. Seinfeld... 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 76 million viewers. So the numbers are going down. The prices are going up. That was about 1.7 million. And then again, maybe 50 million on Thursday night, but they're dropping about $2 million for a spot.
And first of all, so are these going to be new commercials that were developed just for this thing? Or
I don't know. Again, you don't get that little tease of what's going on. Yeah. There may be stuff related. A lot of the related things are happening outside of the show itself. For example, Barilla Pasta, who can't afford to be in the advertising of the show, and I did a special website called finalfinaleparty.com, which offers recipes to parties to say goodbye to a few old quote-unquote friends. So the friends associated
does possibly any significant role in Friends. I mean, that they drink all.
I think the ugly naked guy used to eat a lot of that.
I don't know that either.
Yeah. But. So there, a lot of people are kind of following
anyway,
through.
Gene Baltus, our engineer.
I haven't looked through the window.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a whole different. So, you know, I don't know whether there's going to be specifically oriented like there was for the Super Bowl. Maybe. I take that back. Allstate.
Don't point at me like that.
I'm sorry. I have a pen. Allstate. With Dennis Haysbert, who plays the president in 24. He's mm-hmm. the spokesperson of Allstate.
Oh, I like him.
There you go. Maybe you'll tune in to
Friends. I'd like him to be president, actually.
We will make it up 50.1 million people watching. They're going to talk about getting together, a Friends-oriented message. So that may be the only one that's doing that.
Nobody's debuting like a new spot the way they do with the Super Bowl.
Not as far as I know.
Yeah.
Not as far as I know. It's really about a very loyal audience that's going to tune in. And these marketers know exactly who they're talking to. They probably don't feel they have to do anything special or different, and they're going to be very targeted at this very lucrative group of people.
Well, first of all, the another interesting thing will be to see how long it takes before all of these people are doing commercials. Like Matt Blank is going to be doing like Meineke. He's going to be happy to get a Meineke commercial a year from now. But I mean, the rest of these people may be out there like hustling. Do they sell things now?
I've heard voiceovers. I've heard...
Probably in Japan and places like that. Absolutely. Doesn't everybody do commercials?
They don't mind sullying their reputations in a foreign country, but they won't be seen, you know, shystering other things around here.
We're talking to Steve Wolfberg from Cronin & Company. Are there any... I feel as though I've seen some interesting commercials lately, although I can't exactly sort of name them. I mean, forget about Friends and Frasier. Yeah. Do you have any commercials that you like right now?
I am really enjoying what Burger King is doing. And I don't really like the nipple ring spot they did, because I just think that's just, you know... There was really no reason for that, except it was funny.
I did find a nipple ring in my Whopper one time. I wasn't aware that was like, is that a promotion or something?
I think it's a particular spot. I don't know if it's one of the kids' meals.
It's 100,000 if you find one. Oh, you turn it in. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. But I think what they're doing a great job is saying, you know, McDonald's is for kids, but if you want fast food and you don't want to spend a lot of money for it, and you're just like a young, you know, office dweeb or whatever, this is the place for you to get your double super Whopper. And I think they're doing a great job of just... really differentiating themselves from McDonald's, and probably the best they've ever done at that in many, many years. I like that stuff.
Yeah, we're talking to Steve Wolfer from Cronin and Company. If anybody wants to call in with their little sort of comments or questions about advertising, our numbers are 522-WTIC. We didn't actually ask Steve whether he would be willing to take questions or not, but 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, star WTIC. Where's he going to go now? I mean, he's here.
I'm stuck here.
I guess there is something about the final episode of a sitcom. I mean, I'm sort of surprised that people are willing to spend that much, because the people who are tuning in, they're going to mainly care about the final episode, and they're probably going to turn the sound down and, you know, do other stuff and, you know, get the food out. But the Super Bowl, everybody understands that 9 chances out of 10 of the Super Bowl is not going to be any good anyway.
Right. Well, there's a very loyal audience to this show, and the feeling is that people aren't going to want to miss a minute, and maybe they're going to stay by the TV because they may realize if they miss a few seconds coming out of the break, a big plot thing will happen. So I think they're feeling that the audience is loyal, will hang in there. It's a good environment to be in. I don't think the advertisers are worried about, you know, any type of wardrobe malfunctions. They're amongst friends. It's a great environment. So they're willing to pay the premium to talk to a whole bunch of people at once, which is few and far between nowadays.
Also people are going to want to discuss the episode and stuff during the show.
Sure.
Anyway, we'll take a little break. We'll be back with more Steve Wolfberg. I want to make an announcement before we get back to Steve Wolfberg.
An announcement?
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Don't feed your dogs grapes or raisins. They're really dangerous.
All right, public service announcement.
Yeah. Well, isn't that nice?
It's very dangerous.
It's very touching.
Thank you. I don't know how I topped that.
Why did this is emailed to me today by the public relations director of the Connecticut Humane Society, Cheryl Rice, who used to work with us.
Oh.
She wants to announce that.
Now, this is what, you know, she's been there how long now?
Oh, like 4 days.
4 days? Yeah. And this is the first big thing?
No, I mean,
don't feed your dog grapes?
You got to start with that. And actually, it's very
dangerous. How about the Atkins diet?
You have like renal failure. You don't want no raisins, no grapes. And not even a few of them.
Why would you do that anyway?
I don't know. Some people do, and their dogs die. That's all I'm saying. All right, we have to go back to this. We have Steve Wolfer, creative director for Corona.
No,
we'll come back to maybe in the 5 o'clock hour. We can go to some details.
The way you said this is like, we got to go back to this.
Well, as if to imply it's
we're saddled with this.
Well,
no, I mean, we're delighted to have him.
He's
very,
the best.
He's very excited.
Thank you.
We have John from Farmington. Has a question about the Friends finale.
All right. John, hello.
John doesn't know. Hi, John.
Hey, how are you?
We're okay. It's none of your business how we are.
Well,
John, I'm fine.
I would like to think it wouldn't be. I'm glad it's not, to be honest with you.
Okay.
But I have a little comment on Friends show. They had an advertisement on for what would be better than a two-hour, what could be better than a two-hour Friends finale? The only thing I could think of was a half-hour Friends finale.
Wait a minute. Is it 2 hours?
Well, yeah.
You didn't say that part.
Well, there's a one-hour clip show, which you can get in for a value of just $1 million for your 30 seconds of time. And that's basically the best of. And then it goes to the one-hour show of the actual finale, and then if you do Mr. Leno at 11:30, he'll have the whole crew there filming that in the Central Perk, which is the area where they all kind of hung out in the show.
What time is Friends on?
8.
It's when we're doing the makeover thing.
It'll be over by 8.
The makeover thing?
Yeah.
I don't think so. Well,
everybody ought to be out.
Are you still here?
Not observing life on TV. They ought to be out participating in life out in the road with people.
That's
out
good.
Anywhere,
what are you?
Get out with people.
What are you?
And then watch the commercials.
Yeah. So like, go have sex behind a dumpster or something like that. Don't be watching Friends. That's your message, right? I mean, I'm interpreting. Is he still there?
No, he's gone.
But that's his point, right? Get out in the fresh air.
Yeah.
Do something.
That was it.
Don't watch a bunch of people who have no lives on the show. Go out and not have your own life.
I don't recall a reference to any dumpster in his message, but I guess that's the way you interpret it.
I was extrapolating.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Are you going to be able to continue over there?
I'll be okay.
Okay. Well, we'll be there for you.
Thank you.
We only have just about a minute left. Is there anything else you want to say, or do you want to talk to the guy who wants to talk about the Six Flags spots, or do you want to say something?
Whatever. Let's entertain your listeners. Lord knows they haven't had a lot of that today.
Okay.
All right. Mark and Akira. Quickly, Mark.
Woo.
Yeah. I wanted to let you know, I think that commercial for Six Flags where the guy gets out of that old bus.
The bingo bus.
Yeah.
What about it? Is it good or bad? Come to the point.
What are you, Larry King?
Well, no, we have to, like, 10 seconds left. Do you like it or not?
I do, yes.
Okay. That's a fun spot. Kids love it. It doesn't really work for me that much, but, you know, if you have 7 kids pulling at you, say, take me there, it's bound to be effective. Every kid I've talked to and have heard from them. Just love
at
it.
At this point, if the guy, freaking guy running a dive, he'd probably be a U.S. senator. I mean, everybody...
he's everywhere.
It's a very eye-catching spot, actually.
It is, and he's on billboards now, and
it's
he's handsome.
Borderline annoying.
Just, yeah, getting there.
Kind of like this show.
Getting there.
Thank you. Steve Wolfberg from Cronin & Company. We're getting
a
wrap-up signal here.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
He's on his way home, Mrs. Wolfberg. Well, I have decided to quit the women's team as well because I'm not getting very much playing time, and after consultation with my friends and family, I've realized I am not a woman. It's time for Sports à Trois to our French Forces Discussion segment. Avec Monsieur Arnoldi, Monsieur Bruce Stevens, and myself, Louis Gascon de la Mer.
Flunked the physical, huh?
No. Well, I wouldn't say that.
You want to go any further with that?
There are a number of things that could be said here, I guess.
Well, are you surprised at this?
What? People quitting the women's team?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. There's... according to this civil rights settlement announced by the Justice Department, some black customers were experiencing discrimination at Cracker Barrel restaurants. Mm-hmm. Some were segregated, and others were refused service by white waiters. And Cracker Barrel said, well, we are called Cracker Barrel, aren't we? You can't say we didn't warn you. And so Cracker Barrel has... Cracker Barrel has announced that
beautiful.
They agreed to nothing. They've admitted to nothing. But they've agreed to a program to prevent discrimination practices, and starting next week, they're going to offer a Martin Luther King platter with Malcolm X fries.
That's very good.
Yeah. And also coming up, we also have a case against Waffle House as well. Last month, 8 black customers in the Atlanta area filed a federal lawsuit against Waffle House claiming racial discrimination. Denny's had a 1993 racial bias class action suit, and I don't think they've tried to reform themselves and everything like that. But a lot of brothers and sisters are still reluctant to go to Denny's. I personally, as a black man, will go to Denny's, and I think that they do a better job these days. But I don't think as a black man I would want to walk into a place called Cracker Barrel.
I'm sorry.
Perhaps you'd prefer going to Honky Kitchen. Anyway, our numbers are 5... our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. And... can you believe Wolfberg? Wolfberg, as he's leaving here, he starts showing us pictures of his daughter's bat mitzvah, to which we were not invited.
Right.
Had anybody ever even heard of Steve Wolfberg before his... did he even exist before he started coming on our
show?
Right.
We made him.
Yeah, we made what he is today.
Absolutely.
Certainly the fact that he's able to pay for it looked like a pretty nice party and had a band.
It looked like
stuff.
A great party.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the only way we would know is through these pictures that we happen to see.
Yeah.
And he wanted us to be in pictures.
Yeah, and then he wanted us to put on yarmulkes and pose for pictures like we were at the... what is it, he's like trying to get his numbers up, you know, pretend there were more people there than actually were. When I think about that, that seemed a little odd. He made us put on yarmulkes.
Exactly. That's exactly what the whole... you have it.
Yeah.
You've nailed it.
So here I invited Bruce and Colin to you. You can see. Now, they happen to be sitting in a part of the bar mitzvah that looks a lot like a radio studio.
It looks a lot like a microphone.
So something Avon Old Farm set up for them, you know, make them feel at home. I just thought that was insensitive, quite frankly.
Right, yeah.
I mean, it just seems, you know, we weren't invited, but would we like to see pictures of this?
Yeah.
It seems unkind.
And then to ask us to have our photos taken.
Yeah, as though we were at it.
As though we were actually there.
At that point, we should get to eat, drink, and dance like everybody else.
Oh, right, you'd think.
You'd think. I guess he was just brought up that way. Do we have time to talk to Dave or not? It's only 20 seconds.
Not really.
Yeah, this is big. This is too big. Too big. Dave, stay on the line. This is too big.
Hold on, Dave. Yeah, this is big.
I want to talk about Denny's.
Yeah. We come back from the news and all. Yeah. It's about 20 minutes from now.
I love talking about white supremacist restaurants. You know, I gotta be I may not be successful in other ways, but I'm going to be the best dancing talk show host in America.
I'd like to see Al Franken dance the way I do.
Yeah, but you don't know. Yeah. Al might just be a madman. You don't know.
The Art Bell is like breaking and popping, you know, during the commercial.
That's probably it.
He's probably breaking and popping, but he may not be dancing.
Yeah.
So don't feed your dog raisins or grapes. I don't have a dog.
Yeah, I don't have a dog.
But if you did.
If I did have a dog, I would not feed it anything like that anyway.
The public service on behalf of WTIC and our friends at the Connecticut Humane Society.
Why would you even do that?
They leave the canister of raisins out where the dog can get it. The dog pulls it down and thinks it's something good and has a few mouthfuls. And really, it's really, I'm serious. It's dangerous and they get renal failure. And
yeah.
It's very bad.
Yeah,
no raisins, no grapes.
Right.
Yeah.
What about chocolate? You're not supposed to give them chocolate either,
yeah,
right?
Chocolate's not a good thing either.
Yeah.
But I think most people know about the chocolate thing. The raisins and grapes, maybe they don't know about. I didn't know about that.
Was this the new crusade?
Well, no,
raisins and grapes thing?
We had a one of our favorite former staffers here, Cheryl Rice, has become the public relations director for the Connecticut Humane Society.
Right.
This may be her first big crusade. I don't really know.
Well, good for her. Yeah,
but I was...
She's a lovely woman, and I felt
we should act on it rather than, you know, who knows? Today is the day that maybe Bowser wants to have his first bunch of grapes, and I'm saying, you know, if I get this thing on the air in time, you save a life. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
We have time to do some open phones here. Our numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC.
They haven't seen a lot of dogs in, like, the produce department at Stop and Shop.
I mean, there are dogs who,
actually,
you know,
begging to get, you know, take home a bag of grapes.
You know, now, well, I'm just thinking about this, but Peter Shapiro and Sally Shapiro just recently lost a lovely dog named Willis, and that dog ate a lot of vegetables.
Willis?
Willis, yeah.
It's a great name.
Willis ate a lot of vegetables. It's not that something.